Blog Talk Radio.
I may be a soldier, I'll stand up for you. When your world comes crashing down, I'll be the one to hold you. Let me be a soldier, I'll fight for you. When you're up against the wall, I will pull you through.
South Florida Connects provides straight spouse awareness support.
Have you found out that you're a straight spouse? Are you worried about what that means for you and your family now? South Florida Connects is here for you. We are a local Miramar nonprofit outreach and advocacy organization that provides straight spouse awareness support to men and women who need help to deal with the devastating realization that their spouse or significant other is secretly gay. If you suspect, are found out by admission or incriminating evidence that your spouse, the father or mother of your children, your life partner, your significant other is gay, and you need help handling this devastating information, we are here for you. We understand how difficult and debilitating this can be. Here at South Florida Connects, we believe no straight spouse should be left behind. Visit us at our website at southfloridaconnects.com. That's southfloridaconnects.com. Or call our support hotline at 954-983-9751. That's 954-983-9751. And leave us a message with your contact information, and our peer support specialist will contact you. Or you can email us at sfconnects@gmail.com. That's sfconnects@gmail.com to share the details and say what help you need. You can be anonymous, as we do not need to know your name to help you. Call us if you want to have a seminar or support group meeting at your church, business, or organization. Turn to South Florida Connects for straight spouse awareness, as no straight spouse should be left behind. Go to southfloridaconnects.com for more information.
Let me be a soldier, I'll die for you.
Hello, and welcome to Straight Spouse Awareness with South Florida Connects. I am Debbie Thomas Brown, your host, and it's a pleasure to be back with you again this evening. This evening, we want to talk about anger, pain, and depression in the straight spouse. As a straight spouse, you may have had some very angry moments. Sometimes your pain may have felt unbearable, and you may even believe that you were the only person who suffered this type of humiliating deception. No, you are not alone. There are many, many angry straight spouses who are in deep pain and suffering and deep depression all over the world. This program is to help you understand your anger and get a handle on it and help you manage your pain and lessen your depression. As you know, or may not know, anger, pain, and depression are sometimes perceived as one big emotion. But when you don't distinguish between them, they could end up fueling each other and making your life worse. Anger, pain, and depression are three negative experiences so closely bound together, it can sometimes be hard to know where one ends and the other begins. Pain is a complex phenomenon that has emotional and physical components. The emotions may play a huge role in the experience of pain, and pain is intimately associated with depression. It's long been known that the psychic pain of depression feeds anger. But just as often, anger fuels depression. A powerful emotion psychologically and emotionally, anger often feels good, but only for for the moment. It can be a motivating force that moves you to action. But there are good actions and bad actions. So it's vital to distinguish between the two. Many people confuse anger and hostility. Anger is a response to a situation that presents some threat. Hostility is a more enduring characteristic and predisposition, a personality trait reflecting a readiness to express anger. Anger is usually anything but subtle. It has potent physiological effects. You feel it in your chest. You feel it in your head. You can feel it coursing through your body. Nevertheless, anger can be insidious. Anger confers an immediate sense of purpose. It's a shortcut to motivation. And if there's something depressed people need, if there's something that straight spouses need, it's motivation. But anger creates a cycle of rage and defeatism. When you feel anger, it provides the impulse to pass the pain along to others. The boss chews you out, then you snap at everyone in your past. You find out that your husband is gay, now you chew out the kids, or you are not nice to the kids. Or to your in-laws because you think they knew and didn't tell you. Anger, however, can eventually lead you into self-pity, because you can't slough off the self-hurt. Anger is classically a way of passing psychic pain onto others. The two-step. You feel hurt. And then you go, poor me. And then you go, I hate you, to everybody. It's a way of making others pay for your emotional deficits. Is it wise? I don't think so. It is wise to change that tendency. Whether or not anger fuels depression, it isn't good for the enjoyment of life. Here are some ways that you can keep anger from fueling your depression. Let's talk about some ways how to keep your anger from feeding your depression. First, of course, is to identify your anger and to acknowledge it. Anger is one of those emotions whose expression is sometimes subject to taboo so that people can grow up unable to recognize it. They feel its physical discomfort but can't label it. And there are people who will deny that they're angry. You know, they're angry and you see them throwing things and they're breaking things and you say, oh, you're angry. And they say, no, I'm not angry. They just won't give it a name. So, first off, you have to give that emotion a name. Build a vocabulary for your internal states. If you have a word for your emotional state, then you can begin to deal with it because you know, oh, this is anger, so you know how to deal with anger. Feelings are fluid, however, so you need to stop and capture them in a word, or else you lose them and don't know you have them. A label improves your ability to understand your feelings. View your anger as a signal. It is not something to be escaped. It is not something to be suppressed. It is something to be accepted as a sign that some deeper threat has occurred that needs your attention. Make yourself aware of the purpose of your anger. Let me say that again. Make yourself aware of the purpose your anger serves. Be sure to distinguish purpose from passion. Things that have a positive purpose seek betterment, growth, love, enrichment, fulfillment. Things that have a negative purpose are motivated by a sense of deficiency. Your boss yells at you, like I said before. You feel diminished, so the anger you express at others is driven by the blow you've just received. Are you enraged about an inequity or an unfairness? Your spouse is gay and you think your in-laws, they knew about it all this time and never bothered to tell you. Or you find out that all your members in your church knew your husband was gay before you met him. And when you were dating, nobody bothered to tell you that this man came to the church as a gay man. So now you're angry with some of your church members. View your anger as a signal. It is not something to be escaped. It is not something to be suppressed. It is something to be accepted as a sign that some deeper threat has occurred that needs your attention. Make yourself aware of the purpose your anger serves. Be sure to distinguish purpose from passion. I'm saying this again for you. Things that have a positive purpose seek betterment, growth, love, enrichment, and fulfillment. It is worth repeating. Things that have a negative purpose are motivated by a sense of deficiency. I hope you got that. In order to identify your motivation, you need to look within. It's a matter of becoming psychological minded and engaging in introspection. Turn into the inner dialogue that you customarily have with yourself, not the negative dialogues, the positive ones. If your anger is deficiency motivated, driven by a wish to rectify a wrong you believe was done to you, work on acceptance. Give up your obsession about the wrong. See that the opposite of anger is not passivity, but more functional assertiveness. So giving up your obsession with the wrong doesn't mean that you're letting the person who wronged you, your ex, your gay ex, or your present husband who is gay and fooling you. You're not getting them off the hook. You just not become so obsessed with it that it blinds you so that you don't use this information in a positive way. So uproot mistaken beliefs that underline your response. Very often, anger is the result of beliefs that lead you to place unreasonable circumstances, such as that life must be fair. Because you and I know that unfairness does exist. The belief that you are entitled to fairness results from the mistaken idea that you are special. Yes, I know you are special, but I'm just saying this now because I don't want you to continue to think that you are in a vacuum and stuff won't happen to you and shouldn't happen to you. How could he do this to me? I know, I've said that. I know, but you are trying to channel this anger into a positive place now, okay? Insisting that life must be fair to you is not only irrational, it will cause you to collect injustices done to you from years past, and you will continue to collect them. Even if you are experiencing nothing more than your fair share of unfairness, such a belief can still fuel rage and lead to depression. Those who hold the deep belief that life should always be fair cannot abide when it is unfair. You fall apart when things happen to you. Because stuff do happen, and bad things happen to good people all the time. That leads directly to rage that is totally inert, because you believe there's nothing that can be that you could do about the unfairness. Yeah, you believe you can't do anything about the situation, but you can. Don't feel helpless and hopeless. In other words, depressed. Self-pity is another description of the same phenomenon. How can you help yourself with self-pity? Notice your own complaining. Listen for both overt and covert complaining. Overt complaining hassles others. It is really a manipulative strategy. Know when it's becoming a downer and a barrier to a strategy of effectiveness. Like, complain about a fly in your soup. Take the fly out and get rid of the soup. Don't complain about it. It's not going to help the situation. Don't complain about your spouse being gay. He's not going to change when you complain. Do something about that knowledge. Use that knowledge to do something positive to help your situation. Covert complaining hassles you. It drags you down into passivity and inertia. Once you notice it, determine to give it up. Once you can accept that life sometimes is unfair, then you can pursue anger, as it mobilizes you for action to get what you want. That is, to make others do what you want them to do or stop doing something you dislike. However, when people lack anger management skills and instead explode angrily out of control, their angry eruptions are likely to engender serious cost. Angry outbursts may win the battle, giving you the immediate object of your desire. But at the same time, unlike bulls or lions, people tend to want to affiliate as well as to dominate. People want to be liked and even loved, and I'm sure you do too. While your angry outburst may win you immediate attention or win you the battle or get you what you want, it will weaken your connections with and your attractiveness to colleagues, friends, and family members. Let's talk about how angry feelings can alert you to a problematic situation. Once anger has conveyed its pay attention message, the angrier you feel, the less effective you will be, and you won't be able to solve the problem. That's because anger decreases your ability to think. It makes it impossible for you to take in new information. Because anger takes away your brain power. Because you can't be angry and be in positive brain power mode at the same time. So it takes, when you're angry, you can't take a fresh perspective or come up with a new solution. Anger closes off your ears to data uptake. It's like your computer. When it's overheating, it causes the brain's information processing mechanism to freeze, to shut down. There won't be any thinking going on. Zippo, nada. So once anger has alerted you to a problem, therefore, your best bet is to heed the stop sign. Use your anger for a positive purpose. You can work constructively against injustices you find, transforming your anger into passion, or you can pursue fulfillment in spite of the unfairness that exists. Like, I was angry that my ex chose to try to put it past me that he was gay. He want to marry me when he knows he's gay. I was angry. But see what I did with that anger? I turned it into a positive situation. Because I am using it to fuel this passion to help straight spouses everywhere. I am using it to provide straight spouse awareness. So I'm using my anger as my stop sign and to turn it into a positive instead of making it be a negative. When you are not getting something you want or getting something that you don't want, your anger may surge. How is your anger control? Let me ask again. How is your anger control? To control your anger and prevent damage to your relationships or reputation, regard your anger as a stop sign. The problem for us is that we create a dysfunctional and false reality to soothe our pain. And in doing so, we cling to a futile need to be right or be superior. I'm guilty of that. Which overrides our capacity to heal and to make healing and healthy changes in our life. Usually because we don't know any other way to come to grips with the painful feelings of hurt, rejection, and abandonment that we have experienced. Here are some thoughts. We have to practice healthy grieving. We all know that it is important that we grieve the end or the death of these relationships, these straight spouse relationships, these mixed orientation relationships. It's important for us to grieve the death of them, just like how you grieve a death in the family. This is a death. Your marriage is not going to be the same, even if you're staying in it. That part that you knew of has died. This is a different thing now. The grieving cycle, according to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, includes denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. The duration, order, and the degree of each state varies with each individual. But I still implore you not to stay too long in the anger zone. Try to get through that as fast as you can. Dysfunctional resentment. Now, what is that? Let's talk about that. Resentment is a mental process in which we repeatedly relay a feeling and the events leading up to that feeling that angers us. With resentment, we re-experience and relive events in ways that affect us mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually in very destructive ways. Resentment happens when we feel that what people did to us, that what they did was unnecessarily hurtful, mean, disrespectful, or humiliating. Yes, you had a gay spouse, and he decided to keep that a secret from you. Some of your church members knew the man was gay before you met him in the church. He came to the church as a gay man, and now you met him, and nobody bothered to tell you that. Your in-laws knew that their son was gay, but they decided that it's best for him to marry you, and they decided not to tell you anything. So now you know all of this, and you're angry at all these people, including your gay spouse. When we are caught up in this resentment, it obscures both our vision and motivation to identify and resolve the issues that plague us in these relationships, such as selecting emotionally impaired partners in the future, confusing sex with love, or even things like our own issues, such as codependency. So you see, anger can make you become crazy and lose your brain function. According to Mark Sichel, a licensed social worker, holding resentments is a choice. Ask yourself, are you making the healthy choice? If you are angry, is it healthy anger or unhealthy anger? Mark also provides 10 steps to help us when letting go of resentment. Let me talk about each one of them. Approach resentment as the addictive state of mind it is. I don't think I need to say anything more about that, because those people who carry resentment year after year after year, don't tell me that it's not addictive. Why are you not able to let go of it? Realize that you are using resentment to replicate old dramas and acknowledge that you cannot change the past. Examine how your resentment may come from mentally confusing people in your present life with people in your past. Acknowledge that you cannot control those who have rejected you or hurt you. You cannot control them, but you can control how you react to them. Recognize that your resentment gives you only illusions of strength. Instead, highlight and validate your real strength and power. Using the car to damage your husband's truck or try to run him over is not healthy. It's not constructive. But using that anger to fuel your research so you can go searching for financial information about your family's finances so that you can have things in order so that if he decides to divorce you or later on down the road you said, I'm out of here, you have that information to share with your lawyer. So you won't be gypped. Your husband won't be able to hide assets. Isn't that a good way, a positive way to use your anger? I think so. Learn to identify signals that provoke resentment. And Mark said, right, we could apply the acronym HALT. That's H-A-L-T. That is widely used in 12-step programs. The H is for hungry, the A for angry, the L for lonely, and the T for tired. So you see, those emotions, when you feel them, how they can help your anger? Okay. So if you can identify those signals, you might be able to control your anger. He also wants us to practice cognitive behavioral techniques to stop indulging in resentment. That basically means you have to engage your brain and be proactive in trying to use techniques to stop yourself from indulging in this resentment game. Put a thought between your feelings of resentment and indulging in ruminating about them. You don't want to do what let the animals do, just bring it up, regurgitate it over and over again. You don't want to do that. Just drop it because it does not help you. It does not help you. Acknowledge your part in allowing your spouse to use you as their cover. Yes. And forgive yourself for that and make a decision not to let it happen again. Yes, some of us had clues and we ignore them. Some of us heard people talking and we chose not to listen. Some of us heard the gay spouse tell us when we started dating them that they did this when they were younger or they did this with their roommate. What do you think that meant? So yes, we have to forgive ourselves because some of us, allowed this to happen. Okay, we ignored the signs. We did not pay attention to our intuition. So some of us have to do this. Declare an amnesty with the person you resent and with yourself. Yes. Time out. Give it up. Start over. Not with that person, in a different way so that you are protected. You don't feel like you are a fool. Forgive when you can. That doesn't mean you have to forget. But forgive when you can and practice willful and deliberate forgetfulness when you cannot. Keeping in mind that these acts are gifts to yourself rather than capitulation to the people who hurt you or the person you resent. Always remember that forgiveness is a choice that you choose to make to help you heal. You can do it or you can choose not to do it. Here at South Florida Connects, we know how you feel because we have been there and done all of that. That is why we know it is good to have a support system in place. A support group can be like your own sounding board. You can get angry and they will help you work through the anger, thus relieving your pain and decrease your depression. Send us an email at sfconnects@gmail.com so that we can send you some information on how to join our online support group. You can send Bonnie an email also at bonk@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com to request information and how to join this group. And also, if you have children, adult children of gay parents, she has started a support group for adult children of gay parents. You can send her an email to request information on how your adult children or your teenagers or your young adults can join that group so they can be of support to each other. Also, I want you to visit our website at SouthFloridaConnects.com so that you can get some more information. It is not too late for you to join us in Houston for a Straight Wives Healing Weekend retreat. That's coming up on March 2nd and 3rd, 2013. Last year was a true blessing, with women from all over coming together to share their experiences and to support each other. It is free to join us. All you need to do is to get there and to get your hotel room. I will be traveling from South Florida to Houston and for that weekend, and I would love to meet some of you there. Send an email to Bonnie at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And put Houston in the subject line, and she will send you the info for you to be able to join us. If you need support, maybe it is time you get away for a little bit to get some insight into your straight spouse situation. Either way, you are not alone. And remember that life was not meant to be this difficult, period.
be the one to hold you. Let me be a soldier. I'll fight for you. When you're up against the wall, I will pull you through.
South Florida Connects provides straight spouse awareness support.
Have you found out that you're a straight spouse? Are you worried about what that means for you and your family now? South Florida Connect is here for you. We are a local Miramar nonprofit outreach and advocacy organization that provides straight spouse awareness support to men and women who need help to deal with the devastating realization that their spouse or significant other is secretly gay. If you suspect, are found out by admission or incriminating evidence that your spouse, the father or mother of your children, your life partner, your significant other is gay, and you need help handling this devastating information, we are here for you. We understand how difficult and debilitating this can be. Here at South Florida Connects, we believe no straight spouse should be left behind. Visit us at our website at southfloridaconnects.com. That's southfloridaconnects.com. Or call our support hotline at 954-983-9751. That's 954-983-9751. And leave us a message with your contact information, and our peer support specialist will contact you. Or you can email us at sfconnects@gmail.com. That's sfconnects@gmail.com. to share the details and say what help you need. You can be anonymous, as we do not need to know your name to help you. Call us if you want to have a seminar or support group meeting at your church, business, or organization. Turn to South Florida Connects for straight spouse awareness, as no straight spouse should be left behind. Go to southfloridaconnects.com for more information.